Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, November 10th, 2015, and with me today I have Dave Hamilton. How are you, Dave?
Fantastic. Thanks for having me, Jeff. It is a pleasure.
Oh, thanks for being here. I'm glad to have you on the show again. And John Martellaro, how are you today?
Good morning. Nice to be here.
It's awesome to have you here. Thanks both of you for joining me today. Also, thank you to Downcast. They are our sponsor today. And if you're not familiar with Downcast, well, you ought to be, because it's a really great podcast playback and management app. It's the one that I'm using on my iPhone right now. And I just love it because it gives me the management that I want. No, it gives me the control that I want over the way that that I organize and then play back the podcasts that I listen to. And I'm kind of a control freak sort of guy when it comes to stuff like that. So I appreciate that Downcast gives me the controls that I really want to have. I also like that I can send podcasts over to my Apple Watch if I want. And I like that I can synchronize where I am in a show between all my devices. So I can start listening, say, on my iPhone, and then later on go and listen on my Mac as well. Totally cool. Absolutely love that. And I also love that the price is right. It's $2.99 on the App Store. And what you should do is go get yourself a copy. And to do that, go over to this URL, downcast.fm/TDO. And that link again is downcast.fm/TDO. And what that's going to do is link you right in exactly where you need to be on the App Store so that you can pick up your own copy. And it also lets the Downcast people know that you found out about their app here on Daily Observations. So go check them out, get yourself a copy, and start listening to podcasts the cooler way, which is the way that I do it. And that URL again is downcast.fm/TDO. Thank you, Downcast, for being our sponsor today. All right. Now, the reason I wanted to have both of you guys here today is because I figured this might be a really great time to give people some tips and help and pointers on how to deal with this whole phishing scam thing. And the reason I'm bringing this up today is because a new phishing scam has been discovered that targets Apple IDs. And so to back up a step, because I realize some of you are thinking throw a line in the water, figuratively speaking, that's what this is. So what happens, bad guys try to trick you into giving up personal information. In this case, that information would be your Apple ID login and password, your social security number, and your credit card. And the way they do this is by just sending out a boatload of emails and hope that eventually someone clicks on the click here link in the message and goes to the specially crafted site they have made where you just fill in all the blanks, give them all the information they want, and now they have access to your Apple ID, they can buy stuff on your credit card, and it makes your life generally just crappy. In this most recent phishing scam that I've seen, they went to much greater lengths to make their email look and sound legit. Most of the phishing scam emails that I have seen come out look like Yoda wrote them. Seriously, you look at them and you're like, I don't even get how someone could think this is a real email. But anyhow.
But it is possible to craft an email that looks just like Apple's. And in fact, the easiest way to do that is to just copy one of Apple's emails and insert your own links.
Exactly.
The giveaway on this one, Dave, is that even if they vaguely copy Apple's format, which they didn't do quite precisely, they say dear customer, and that's a tip off right away. If it says dear customer instead of dear Dave Hamilton, you know they're not using a database that's a generalized throwout phishing.
That's true.
So watch for that.
But they could, databases of all of our email addresses exist. And many of them exist with at least our first names associated with it, if not our full names.
I've seen very few of them that use my name. fully.
Yeah, but they do exist. So I don't want to tell people if you see your name, it's safe.
There's a list of things we're going to go through. Yeah, it's like checkboxes. And if you see this and if you see that and you see that, then you kind of get the feel of it.
Yeah.
All right.
That's right.
Okay. Fair enough. Yes. And one of the other things that I look for is screwy punctuation and grammar. And in this most recent phishing scam that comes out or came out, the punctuation and the grammar is much better than I have seen in the past. However, it's still not right. It doesn't feel like something that Apple wrote. And I totally get that I am in a better position than a lot of other people may be to pick up on those nuances because I write every single day. So it's easier for me to see those little things. But in the case of this email that's started making the rounds, one of the things that I noticed is that it's pushy, and that is not Apple's way. When they do not do things like put in lines that say, the sooner that you give us this information, the sooner we can fix your account.
Right.
I have some insight, guys, on this grammar thing.
Okay.
I have a PR rep for a company. I won't mention her name just to be polite. Yeah, but she's in Taiwan. And she is English is her second language. She is brilliant. She's one of those students who gets straight A's and 800 on her SATs. She writes English brilliantly, but you can tell it's not her native language. And recently she wrote some stuff for me that I put into a review, and I had to sort of go through and make little tiny tweaks because the difference between the giveaway of a non-English speaker and an English speaker and somebody who writes for a living is very subtle. And so you would say, well, don't these people just use the right kind of grammar? It turns out if your English is not your first language, which is the case for many of these people overseas, it's amazingly difficult to cast English in the correct, proper style of business English. So that's what happened to me, and it gave me a little insight into the difficulty of doing it right.
If you read something and it feels like it's just slightly off, and maybe you can't put your finger on what it is, but it just feels off, that may be what it is.
I have some advice that might shortcut our entire conversation, but I'll share it anyway. My feeling on any of these, sometimes I will go to a website like Apple's website and trigger a password reset email. So I'm expecting it. It's not a surprise. And then I sort of am comfortable following the directions that are inside it. And sure, there's a chance that maybe somebody sneaks one by me. But there's other things that I'm gonna worry about too. But by and large, most of the time these things come in, I'm expecting it. Now, this one's saying, hey, we took some action on your behalf because of things other people did, and now you need to go and reset your password. And that's clever and sneaky, and that's good. But anytime I get something like that, I never click the link in the email. If it says it's Apple and it's about my ID, I go to apple.com or my Apple ID or whatever it is. Right. And if it's Citibank, I just go to my browser and I type in the URL, or I use it from a bookmark if I even still have those, but I manually bring myself there. And I've found that to just be a good policy. If somebody wants you to reset your password, they're going to send you a password reset link, but only after you trigger something. So go to the site, trigger it, and then come back with.
Well, Dave, in the case of this email, it says you may have noticed some limitations. Well, you probably haven't noticed limitations. So a good policy, in addition to what you said, is just sort of sit and wait for a while and see if you think anything has changed.
Right. Yeah, ignoring right. it never, is not a problem. Yeah,
Never click on the link right away when somebody says there's something going wrong until you see something going wrong, and then follow Dave's advice to go to the site directly.
That's true. Even if somebody, like even if I go to, the Apple ID website and I tell it to, that I want a new password for your account, John, right? I've figured out whatever your Apple ID is and now I'm going to try and reset it. What's going to happen is you're going to get an email saying you or someone using your email address ask to reset your password. If it wasn't you, ignore it, and your password won't be reset. Now, it could be a warning sign that someone's targeting you, and maybe you do want to then go and reset your own password or consider your, you know, two-factor authentication decision and all of that. But by and large, I just ignore those. If somebody's trying to hack me, fine. It's nice to know they're trying to hack me, but that's all that it is. It, you know, they're not getting that email too. It's just coming to you, and there's a reason for that.
You know, another tip is to where it says click here is to hover your mouse over any link in an email. Not that you're going to be in a hurry to click on it, and not that you should go there because of what Dave just said, but if you're curious, hover the mouse over the link and a little yellow box will open up revealing the true URL, and you'll see where you're going. And often it's somewhere you don't want to go.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep, that's true. All right, so we've talked about you can just look at the way an email's crafted and in many cases tell it's bogus. Don't click the links in an email. Go to the website yourself and you can preview what the URL is by hovering over it. Do you guys have other tips for people who are trying to avoid phishing scams?
Well, I was curious about the white Apple logo on the blue sky thing. I had never seen that before. Was comparing it to another email I got from Apple. And it's just simple and a plain black Apple logo when you get an email from them. But these guys went overboard and got creative and did this kind of like cloudy, you know, thing in the corner with the wisps and a white logo floating there. And I'm going, that looks odd. I've never seen that before. So sometimes that's a giveaway.
All right. Now, let's say someone does click a link and give up information, and then in retrospect they're thinking, I may have just made a mistake. What would you guys do?
Well, the first thing I would do if I thought I really did make a mistake is I would either call Apple or I would go online and I would change my password right away. And if I thought my credit card had been compromised, I might have to report that too, because Apple keeps your credit card number on file. Dave?
Yeah, if I feel like, whoa, what did I just do? Where did I just change my password? Because somebody could be very sneaky. They could have you change your password and then redirect you back to apple.com and, you know, to their thank you page, right? If they've figured out what the URL is for that, it could make it seem like when you're at the end of the process, you're where you expected to be. And you know, these are all sort of little things. But yeah, if you feel like you've been had or maybe been had, just go immediately and change your password. And like John said, yeah, I agree with all of that. If it just happened, your credit card's probably fine, you know. But if it's something that happened a couple of days ago, change your password and then go look at your credit card history, see what happened.
Right, and if something looks funky, well, you let your bank know.
Yeah, if not, you know, the banks, credit cards are a whole different thing, right? The banks are going to cover you for most, if not all, of this stuff. So before, for me, and we all have, you know, security is a personal decision that lives on a continuum, right, between being ultimately secure and ultimately convenient. And I tend way closer to the ultimately convenient side. I do some things that are secure. I don't make my passwords all blank, although that's ultimately convenient, right?
Yes.
I mean, there is. It's this continuum, and it's not black or white. You kind of pick your spot on that path, and mine is way closer to convenience. So I'm not gonna punt on my credit card just because I think somebody might have gotten a hold of it. I worked for Citibank for years. I understand that these are the most insecure financial instruments that we have, and the banks know that too, and they're happy to cover their losses. And they've put in some safeguards very recently, you know, with chip and sign and all of that, that sort of makes it better. But it really just makes it better for them. It's always been good for you, the consumer, because you're protected. They protect you. They understand the risks. They know that the risks make it more convenient for you to use the card, and they make money there. So right. I'm not that concerned about my credit card getting compromised. If I don't see a transaction, I'm not going to do anything.
Hey, here's a tip that's kind of vaguely related to what we're talking about. It's not a direct diagnosis of the phishing email itself, but one of the things I do is my Apple credit card is also an Apple Pay. So every time there's a charge, I get a text message on my phone, and I can track instantly as soon as a charge is made.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I get notifications for, yeah, for my Citibank card, Apple Pay does not notify me, but for Amex it does. But like the Citibank app sends me a notification when a charge is made. So yeah, it you know, in fact, this morning I got a phone call from Citibank's fraud department saying we need to talk to you. And I thought, oh, geez. Okay. And the first thing I did was think, well, I haven't seen any charges come through because they all come as push notifications. So I launched the app. And I looked in the app and I saw a charge I made yesterday. And I'm like, okay, did I leave my card at the restaurant? No. So I called him up. And my son, we had to replace his iPhone yesterday. And he's got a credit card with my number and his name just as sort of an emergency thing. And he put it in Apple Pay last night. And Citibank just wanted to call and confirm that, you know, this new Apple Pay card was okay and I was all right with it. And, you know, it was me that did it. And I'm like, yeah, it's all fine. You know, you sent me the text message, I confirmed. But, you know, it was odd that I was suspect of this call from the fraud department because I knew there were no fraudulent charges. Mm-hmm. I should have remembered that Citibank is crazy about the Apple Pay thing and calls you the next day, which is massively inefficient. But whatever, it's good. I mean, you know, I guess.
If it makes them happy.
Makes them happy, exactly. Yep. Yep.
All right. Well, okay, I think that we're in a much better place now to be able to first detect and then avoid phishing scams. And I love the ideas that you guys have for dealing with a phishing scam if you think you have been caught. And with that, we're actually pretty much out of time. So, Dave, thank you for being here today.
My pleasure. It's been awesome.
Yeah. This was a great discussion. And John, thank you for being here as well.
You're very welcome.
And Downcast, thank you for being our sponsor today. Head over to downcast.fm/TDO so that you can hit the App Store and pick yourself up a copy of Downcast and manage your podcast in a much better way. And listeners, thank you for being here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.